Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. My guests today are film composers David Speer and Joseph Julian Gonzalez, who have collaborated on a most unusual film project. This Saturday, they'll give a live performance of their musical score to screenings of the 1928 silent film Ramona. This film, which starred a 22-year-old Dolores Del Rio in the title role, spawned an internationally known hit song, but the film was lost for nearly 80 years. A lone print was found in the Czech Republic in 2010 and later restored by the Library of Congress. The two composers wrote a new score, adapted sacred and classical Spanish music, and arranged the title song in a new version to be performed live, which they will do this Saturday at the Circle Cinema. Both composers have numerous film credits and compose classical music as well. David Speer began his career orchestrating for Elmer Bernstein and a lot of his classic films in the 70s and 80s. He's also composed scores for three Academy Award-nominated films and documentaries, Rainbow War, The Courage to Care, and Ballet Robotique. He also wrote the music for the Emmy Award-winning National Geographic documentary, Surviving Everest. Gonzalez's credits include the Academy Award-nominated Colors Straight Up, the Emmy Award-winning Made in L.A., the Peabody Award-winning Latino Americans, and the long-running Latino TV series Resurrection Boulevard. His opera Las Fundaciones de Béjar was recently premiered by San Antonio Opera. Speer and Gonzalez join us today here on Studio Tulsa. David and Joseph, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you
for having us.
Tell us a bit how this project got started. Ramona, if you're not from California, I don't think you know Ramona in the same way that Californians know Ramona. Ramona is a big, big deal, this whole story. I mean, it's been remade into motion pictures four times. They still do a live outdoor production of it each year. Mm-hmm. This is a very important story. So how did you guys get involved with doing this film score recreation?
Well, we have mutual friends in Santa Ana, Orange County, California, and they have a film festival. And they asked us if we wanted to score this film. It's a recent restoration from the Library of Congress. It was just barely restored a couple years ago. And, of course, when you do a silent film, you need a score with it or else it's very boring. So they needed a new score. And it was based on this story, as you said, Ramona, which is a very important novel that came out in the late 1800s, which actually some people speculate was the reason why there was such an immigration to California, because of the romanticization of the area and really made California seem this really beautiful place. So it was a very important story that turned into, as you said, you know, four films, and one of them was this film that came out in 1928 starring Dolores Del Rio. So they asked us, they asked us about 2.5 weeks before it actually was going to screen. So, and it's 82 minutes long, and of course
it needed to be a collaboration.
Absolutely. So we both worked on it together.
Yeah. What is special about this particular film? Now, I know it was lost for about 60 or 70 years, right?
Right.
Well, the film was actually found in a Czechoslovakian film vault. And when it was discovered, it was sent back to the United States. But it wasn't sent back to the Library of Congress until 2010. They got their hands on it, and they were able to restore it and digitize it. And we were able to work with a digital version of the film. And like Joseph was saying, in 2.5 weeks, we produced collaboratively over 80 minutes of music. And Joseph spotted the film very meticulously, sort of checkerboarding the cues.
Who's going to do what, when the music starts, when it ends, right. Things like that.
And Joseph's instrument is guitar, and my instrument is piano. And guitarists and pianists don't usually get along. You know, they don't usually harmonize or play in tune with each other, and very hard to follow each other because we're both accompanists.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But in this case, there are scenes in the film where Felipe, one of the lead characters, serenades Ramona on the guitar, and he's playing and singing to her. And when one watches those scenes, they're mute. But Joseph knows this music extremely well, because it's in his blood. So he selected those scenes for himself, and they're checkerboarded throughout the film. And he was able to authentically research and perform and play and sing those scenes. So when the audience is watching Felipe serenading Ramona, we're actually hearing Joseph Julian Gonzalez performing and singing on guitar while the film is projecting.
Now, was the fact that you had 2.5 weeks the reason you did this as a live film score, or was that always the intention?
It was always intended to be a live score, and we would perform it live. You know, we had to collaborate just because it would have been impossible for any one person to try to get this done. Because as David was saying, it wasn't just the scoring it. There was also research that had to be done because there are actually references in the movie to songs, believe it or not. There's actually a scene called the Sunrise Hymn. That's all it says. And then you see in the film all these people gathering together to sing this song in the early morning in this early California mission. Well, what could that have possibly been? Luckily, by chance, about 10 years ago, I had a relationship with a choir out of San Francisco called the Coro Hispano, or the Hispanic Choir of San Francisco. And they had sent me a choral arrangement of this piece called Cántico del Alba, which means sunrise hymn. And I thought, could this possibly be the same sunrise hymn that's being referred to in this silent film? And after, you know, of course, going to Wikipedia, you know, our source for everything, I found out that it had to be. It was the piece of music.
Does it sync up with the singers in the film?
It syncs up. I did a three-part arrangement of it. David, I, and my wife, Monique, harmonize. And we're actually singing as you're seeing these people singing this hymn in the early morning. It's also a very pivotal point in the story because that's the place where Ramona meets her suitor, the one that she eventually marries, Alessandro.
Now, as I understand it, it was one of the first United Artists films actually to have a soundtrack attached to it. Has that been destroyed or has it been lost?
Well, it's not really a soundtrack. There was a song that was written called Ramona.
Right.
A popular song, and it's one of the first instances where a song was used to promote the film in 1928. Now, of course, after that, every single film has a theme song to it, but Ramona was one of the first, and it was recorded on a wax cylinder or on a disc, whatever recorded music began in the late 20s. So this is one of the first recordings that was made, but it wasn't really synchronized with the film. It was used to promote the film.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So there wasn't, if there was any musical accompaniment for those screenings in the old days, it would still be done by an improvised organist.
Yeah.
It was done by an improvised score. Mm-hmm. There were no real composed scores for this. And we took it upon ourselves to actually fix it, notate it, orchestrate it, and perform it live. And it's an incredible example of using traditional methods and traditional techniques and traditional music adaptation along with contemporary technology in order to pull it off.
Do you use the old song Ramona at
yes.
all in
oh,
the
yeah.
film?
Yeah,
you have.
Absolutely.
I assume you have to at some point in the film, right?
Well, we use it at the very beginning for the main title, and it's sung by Monique, Joseph's wife, and it recurs again as a song, and it also recurs in instrumental variations during scenes where it's appropriate to use that melody.
And it's kind of an old-fashioned melody, isn't it?
Oh, it's a beautiful.
It's like old Vienna in a way.
Yes, it's a waltz. It's a very sentimental, beautiful waltz. And I think that it captures the feeling that one gets of Ramona herself depicted beautifully by Dolores del Rio.
Now, when you are composing music for this 1928 film, and I know, David, you have done one other film, 1922, Hungry Hearts, a Samuel Goldwyn film where you rescored the music. Do you try to stay within that sort of time period, or are you say, hey, I have to compose as I would compose today? How do you both approach that?
It's a great question, and the answer is yes to both, because we cannot avoid the contemporary experience that we've had having viewed everything up to this point in time. So we're aware of the golden age of Hollywood cinema, we're aware of popular music, we're aware of electronic music, we're aware of different styles and different trends. So we incorporate a lot of contemporary perception to approaching a traditional piece. So yes, we have adapted scenes very faithfully, as Joseph was mentioning. But we also are using certain contemporary methods musically in terms of arranging and in terms of accompanying styles. So we don't adhere to the absolute tradition, but we adapt it.
Well, you know, that's a very interesting question because it comes into a bit of a study in the way in which trends change. For example, if you listen to some of the silent film music written from that time period and the way people think of sad music or happy, we see it now as kind of funny. You know, this very kind of over-dramatic, you know,
it's melodramatic.
Yeah, right. But probably during that time, it would really elicit an incredible emotional response from the people. Of course, things have changed a lot because we've heard everything. You know, the modern orchestral techniques, pop music, the influence of everything is in scores. So we have to write to a modern audience, a contemporary audience, and what's going to speak to them.
And when you watch a film that's set back in the past, like, say, a film set in the 30s, when you actually hear it, it evokes the 30s, but it's absolutely contemporary music. I mean, that's generally how it's done in films, isn't it?
Well, yeah. In this case, you can't get away from it because you are seeing a silent film and you're seeing these big gestures that they had to make in order to be able to evoke emotion. I guess it was part of the acting style of the day. So, of course, you can't get away from that and you can't completely write, you know, an electronic, score. That would have just been, you know, really a little bit too much. So we did have to find this balance of hearkening back to the old style, of course, incorporating this beautiful melody of Ramona, but also appealing to a modern day audience.
And so when you see these grand gestures, as you're thinking about what music goes along with it, and it is, you know, silent films, they were using big emotion, pantomime to tell a story. Mm-hmm. So do you have to follow those big gestures in creating big music?
It's not so much about creating big music to follow the big gestures. It's about getting inside the dramatic intent of the scene. And there's a Native American lead character. Ramona is caught between two men. Felipe, who is of her, he's her stepbrother, and he loves her, and they have a fine relationship. But then she meets a Native American man and ends up falling in love with him. But she's torn between both guys. So Alessandro, who's the Native American, needed a theme for him. And so in order to capture that, my instinct was to use a Native flute. Now, mm-hmm. I'm not a Native American flute player, but I came up with a pentatonic theme, which is very simple, which would be idiomatic, but not necessarily the authentic tune that a Native American flutist would play, but it suggests it. And that was used and threaded throughout the film, along with Ramona's theme, along with Felipe's music that was written for him. So what we tried to do was use this old sort of approach, the leitmotif, you know, which is each character has a theme. And each character develops and evolves through the film and goes through different conflicts in their relationships, the music evolves and develops too. And that's a very conscious, deliberate part of the composition process that every film composer does, regardless of whether it's a silent film or a contemporary film.
You know, when you're watching this film, especially when we've performed it before, the emotion and just the way in which it relates to a modern day audience, I was really shocked when we performed. I mean, we heard people sobbing in the audiences. I mean, people were just so connected to this story. And I mean, and people just love Dolores del Rio. Just she's so beautiful.
And she's so young in this film.
So young and so vivacious, you know. And just the raw emotions of, because you may think, oh, that's the 1920s. They're not like us. We're more sophisticated in our emotions, things like. But it really does relate to a modern day audience, like you can't believe.
It's amazing. The music in a silent film functions differently than a music in a talking picture. And what I mean by that is, at the advent of recorded sound, when dialogue and sound effects entered into the cinema experience for an audience, The soundtrack was comprised of three elements: dialogue, sound effects, and music. So music then took a back seat, whereas in silent film, music was the only thing that was audible for the audience. So therefore, I believe that the audience reacted so strongly because the music was telling them and filling in all the unspoken dialogue, all of the feelings that were being displayed visually, but the way they were felt and perceived and heard was through the score. And for that audience, in particular in Santa Ana, when we premiered it, I think many of them were experiencing that for the first time. Now, there were other people in that audience of the age who had actually gone to silent cinema way back in the day. So for them, it was a nostalgic trip and a sentimental experience for them.
Yeah, but still, it's got to be a different experience, because most of the time when you see a silent film, you're using on sort of tried and true themes a lot of times, unless, like I've seen some films where they actually sort of suggested music selections, but a lot of times it's sort of stereotypical sort of playing.
Right.
And have something composed for that moment
that's
important.
It's been part of my mission for quite a long time, not just as a composer, but as an educator. I find that it challenges composers and artists in a different way to supply a musical accompaniment for a preserved or restored silent film, because we can look at it with a contemporary eye, and we have tools now that they didn't have in those days, digital tools and music sampling tools and stuff. And we're not using them for that purpose. It streamlines the process for us. Like, we don't have to rehearse in front of a noisy projector. We can rehearse in a quiet room looking at it on a computer monitor, right. Which is very different.
Yeah. My guests today are David Speer and Joseph Julian Gonzalez. Both are composers and film composers, and they will be giving a live performance of their music score to the restored 1928 silent film Ramona, starring Dolores Del Rio, at the Circle Cinema this Saturday, with showings at 10 a.m. and noon, and there'll be a talk back in between the two showings. And they'll be doing this live, which will be really exciting. Now, you guys are used to accompanying film as you're, I assume, when you're recording music for a film project, you can see the film and you can do your sound cues and the cues of when you're in and when you're out. I think it's probably an entirely different animal to do it the whole film live. Was that a learning curve?
Yes, because, as David was saying, when you are scoring a typical kind of movie of the week, for NBC or, Lifetime or Hallmark Channel or something like that, you are basically accompanying dialogue. So you're not the main content.
And that cue may be 45 seconds to a minute and a half, too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then it goes away, and then or you have a transition to the next scene, and then, the scene starts up again, and then you don't come in until the very end. So there's a certain stylistic way that you learn over the years of how to score a TV episodic or a movie of the week or a documentary. In this case, you are it. You have to provide all the melodic content, all the harmonic content, in order to give all the audible meaning to the story. Whereas you don't do that in a regular film. It's provided by the narration, it's provided by the sound effects, and you're, one of three things. In this case, you're everything. So in a way, what happens is the performance, in our case with Ramona, it's almost like a concert. It's like a little chamber ensemble up there where there's going to be altogether, there's nine of us up there.
Yeah.
And we're going to be performing this concert. Well, it kind of just happens to be a film. But, of course, it's synchronized very, very tightly, as we've been saying. Certain movements on the guitar. We're actually accompanying a couple of dances that are happening. So we're playing this fandango on the, on the guitar and the violins and everything. And you see Dolores Del Rio dancing on the film, twirling around. I mean, it's really, it just gives me shivers when I've seen that.
But the timing has got to be impeccable, because that's the other thing is, if you get wrapped up too much in the music, You may slow down a little bit. You may speed up at a time. And the whole thing is that film still runs the same speed the whole way through, doesn't it?
Well, that's the key difference, exactly what you mentioned. When scoring episodic TV or movies of the week or even major motion pictures, as Joseph was saying, when it's all done in a recording studio and it's not a live performance, it is a rehearsed and musicians are sight reading it, they're reading it down, and then they're laying it down right away, and then maybe you do a second or third take as a backup. And it's usually recorded with clicks, metronomically calculated so that the synchronization is perfect every time. So that is a very antiseptic environment in which to produce a perfectly synchronized score. And the musicians are looking at the music. They're not looking at the picture. Whereas in this case, it's a very different experience, not just for the audience, but for the musicians themselves, because they're not performing or recording the score piecemeal. One cue is 45 seconds, one is a minute and a half. And when we're doing it in a studio for a recording session, we will record frequently out of order. We'll start with the last cue. We'll do a cue from the middle. We'll do the main title last. However, in live performance, guess what? You have to start at the beginning and go through the whole thing nonstop to end. So it's a marathon is what it is. It's not unlike doing a live play or a live musical or a live opera. There's no way around it. You have to go through in chronological order and perform live. In this case, the musicians have, and we'll be working with six musicians from the University of Tulsa, and we have not yet rehearsed with them. And we will rehearse this afternoon, and tomorrow we'll have a tech rehearsal in the circle, and then on Saturday we'll hit it for two shows. And these kids have not even played it yet with us. And that's exciting for us, and hopefully it will be exciting for them. And it will not be a typical concert gig for them or a recording session for them. It'll be a unique experience for them because they will be situated where they will be able to see the film projected big right over their heads. So instead of being in a pit and looking up at a stage with live actors, they'll be just beneath the screen.
And it sounds like they'll have to be aware of that.
They can't not see it.
Yeah, right.
And the thing that's unique about that experience for them is they will immediately know what their function is in that scene, how their part is accompanying the picture or the drama at that particular moment. And we are going to encourage them to interpret. We're not recording to clicks.
Yeah.
This is not metronomically designed. This is very free and it's very expressive.
Yeah.
And you know, one thing that, you know, from the technological point of view, to let you know just the way that we have to do this, we have, of course, the projected image that the audience is going to see, but David and I will be seeing the same image, but there's going to be all kinds of codes on it.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's this practice that we do in film scoring called streamers. And what a streamer is a line that starts from the left hand of the image and goes all the way to the right. Now, when at the right it hits, it's called a hit point. And they're different colors. So, of course, green means the start of a new cue. White are internal hits. Red means stop, okay, because the next one's coming up. So the way that is, it's in the film is that it'll say Ramona walks through the door. Okay, and it has a little line. So when we're playing, we're moving along, and we know the next hit is going to happen when Ramona walks through the door. So everybody's there waiting, and the musicians are seeing that too. So we have to keep going and adjusting ourselves until Ramona goes through that door, and we see that streamer go across. Then that's our next hit point. Now, I don't know how many we have, but I know we have dozens upon dozens of these hit points. We must have over 100, I think.
They're road markers. They're signs. They're direction points for us.
Speed limits in a way, really.
Well, and they're warnings to remind us, don't speed up here and don't slow down here because it keeps us in sync, but it gives us enough flexibility and wiggle room where we can express musically emotionally to capture something and milk it as opposed to keeping it very robotic.
My guests today are David Speer and Joseph Julian Gonzalez, film composers. They'll be giving a live performance of their music score to the 1928 silent film Ramona this Saturday at the Circle Cinema with showings at 10 a.m. and noon. There'll be a talk back between the performances. Well, we're about out of time, gentlemen, but I want to talk about what you're working on now. I know, Joseph, you just had a premiere of an opera, right?
Right, just September 8th in San Antonio. It was called Las Fundaciones de Béjar, or the Foundations of Béjar, which is, of course, Béjar County, San Antonio. San Antonio in 2018 will have its tricentennial of its founding. So they're doing this huge celebration and major redevelopment of the city. It involves all the arts organizations, and they were looking for a composer who could basically do an adaptation or historical adaptation of the founding of the city and as it moves through time. So the way that it works is that we did the first act in September, we'll do the second act in 2017, and then we'll perform all three acts during their week, which is May of 2018. So I was chosen and given the honor to be the composer to work with the San Antonio Symphony, the two opera companies, the Alamo City Opera, the San Antonio Opera, the ballet, San Antonio Ballet.
So this is a big spectacle, huge. Spectacle opera.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. Yeah, yeah. It was
grand,
it was
opera.
Wonderful. Absolutely.
Contemporary grand opera. And David, what have you been up to? What's the latest project for you? I know you've been doing a lot of documentary work.
I've been doing a lot of film and documentary, but my first love is the theater, as well as Joseph, too. And I'm working on a musical right now, and it's an original idea, and the title is called Deliciously Ill-Fated, and it's a collection of songs that I've got so far. I've written six songs for it, and I have a little bit of a script as well, and I hope to have that ready sometime next year. I'm cooking that up right now.
That was
now.
One of your first big breaks was conducting on Broadway, right?
Yes, I auditioned for the legendary composer, Elmer Bernstein. Mm-hmm. And he was a man of the theater, too. He wrote a Broadway show called How Now, Dow Jones. And, of course, he was a great film composer, known right. for The Magnificent Seven and The Ten Commandments and Hawaii and To Kill a Mockingbird, etc.
A ton of major films, yeah.
But I auditioned to be a music director for a musical that he wrote way back in the late 70s through the Mark Taper Forum in Los Angeles, and I was selected to be music director, and that's how I started a relationship with Elmer as his music director, vocal arranger in the theater for a show. And after that show concluded, he asked me if I knew how to orchestrate, and I said, of course. And the next thing I knew, he called me to orchestrate a film score for him, Blood Brothers, which was the first picture I did for him. And that was directed by Robert Mulligan, who also directed To Kill a Mockingbird. Mm-hmm. And from that, I went on to do a lot of films with him, Ghostbusters, Animal House, Airplane, Heavy Metal, etc., The Great Santini. Yeah. And Elmer was a real master, not just of film music, but of music for the theater. And he understood people. He was a great diplomat. I learned a lot from him. He was my mentor.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, we wish you great success with this screening this Saturday. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Film composers David Speer and Joseph Julian Gonzalez speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. The two composers collaborated to create a live music score to the 1928 silent film Ramona. And they'll be performing that in two screenings at the Circle Cinema this Saturday. A 10 a.m. screening, at 11:30 talkback, and then a second screening at noon. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.